patient going first.
Okay. I'll pray for you when it dies down a bit. Okay, should we just pray for John as he preaches to us. Lord Jesus, we do pray for grace and anointing on John. And I pray, Lord, for our own hearts and our openness to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, bring us closer to Jesus as a result of what John preaches. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Well, good morning. Can you hear me okay? Just a bit of a mic test. Is that good? Yeah? Good. Yeah, I'm going to do a slow intro. I'm just going to tell my life story. I want to tell you how I met Marta. No, I'm joking, Marta. but it is lovely to be here, and it's great to... I know there's some here that I don't know, but it's lovely to see many that I do know. Are you waving at me? I was chatting to someone who remain nameless earlier that I've either got to be good or short. Hey, Jay? Oh, sorry, Jay. So hopefully I am at least one of those things. But maybe I'll just share this while we're waiting for the parents. Just something that came into my heart. It's from Habakkuk. This isn't what I'm preaching on. And it says this. This is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, if you're interested. It says, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." And I just felt maybe that's for someone this morning who's waiting. It will not lie. It will surely come. It will not delay. Amen? So let's close there and we'll pray. wouldn't that be wonderful, eh? But this morning I want to talk about the spiritual life. I just want a quick vote. Let's just choose out the elders. Who's the most spiritual elder? Show of hands for Mark, because he's in the room over there. I can see him. No, not you, Mark. You can't vote. Mark, or is it Tim? Or is it Pat? John? John it is. John it is. The most spiritual man in the room. But when I was growing up, to be spiritual was to be the one who kind of like did everything. They had all the words, they knew all the Bible verses and all these kind of things. And obviously, as you grow up or as you come to know the Lord, you realize that's not what being spiritual is. And so I want to talk about this because it's just something I felt the Lord lay on my heart for the church here. In fact, the Lord gave me this word about a year ago, and I've been waiting for an invitation ever since. Literally, I think it was October 2014, no, 2020. It's just something I think, and I trust that the Lord would encourage you and will help us grow. I don't know if anyone remembers the band The Police. Yes. Yeah? Do you remember "We Are Spirits in the Material World"? That song, it's my first 9-inch vinyl that I ever bought. And my mum saw it and was like, "John, what is this spirit stuff that you're doing, you're playing?" And I loved it. I loved The Police. And it was this, you know, we are spirits in a material world. And in a sense, we are spiritual in a material world, yes, but it is also there is a spiritual world. We are all spiritual. And if you're a Christian, and I don't know if everyone here is a Christian, but you are a spiritual being. And so I just want to start with the scriptures. So let's see if this is working. There we go. I don't know if you can read that. I can read that from here. Don't know about you at the back. But it is 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to the end of the chapter, which I think is verse 16. And it's a bit of talking, but it's the word of God, so it's spiritual. You see, there's going to be a theme today, yeah? How long have I got? 2 hours? Yeah? All right, Jay? "So, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. Okay? So here's just the key points. God has revealed things to us in the Spirit. So we are spiritual people. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit. There's a natural person, there is a spiritual person. We're going to get into this. So these are just the key points. They are spiritually discerned. I could not address you as spiritual people. He's talking to Christians. He's came to the church. Maybe if I may be some bold, just as a scenario. There are things I can't do here because you're being natural. You're fleshy. You're not being spiritual. Okay? Now, of course, you're all wonderful spiritual people. But that was what Paul's saying. I want to tell you things of God, but you're too much in your natural self. And this is what he's saying. And this is what I want us to think about. We are spiritual people. And so, I'm going to ask for some people to help me, by the way. I might have to pick on some people that are right in front of me, Angela. So prepare yourself. But we're spiritual. We are made up, if you may well know this, of three distinct parts. There is your body, there is your soul, and there is your spirit. And this is in Scripture. We read this. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone's heard or read anything of the Chinese Christian teacher Watchman Nee, he talks about in Genesis 2 verse 7, it says that God took the dust of the earth and he breathed into the dust and it became a living soul or a living being. In fact, that word there, being, is this whole sense of being rather than, you know, too much of a type maybe that we might think about soul. But this sense that he breathed life. And if you're ever wondering what this is for, imagine a light bulb and you've got the electricity goes into the light bulb, which is made of something you can touch, yeah? And then it emits light, right? That's what happens. You switch on the switch, electricity touches this physical thing, and light comes out of it. You can't touch the light, but something happens when the spirit, or electricity, meets the body and the soul is produced. We are made of three parts, spirit, soul, body. Are you with me? Yeah, I'm going to get three. I need three people. So we got body, soul, spirit. All right, who's going to come and help me? Because this is really important part. It's very spiritual, Angela. Come on, Marta. So we've got spirit. Your spirit. You have to stand on that side, Angela. I need a body. Will you be my body? You can be soul. And body. What's your name?
Janet.
Hello, Janet. Nice to meet you. Oh, is it? Oh, your neighbour. Oh, bless you. We'll pray for you later. There you go. Yeah, I feel like I'm... So if you go that side, we need... You stand this side of me over here, because then you'll be on camera, Marta. Come on. There, I know these things. It's right, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No? Okay. Come a bit closer.
You are now.
You are now. Okay, let's just keep moving around, keep Hannah busy. So, we've got the body. So the body is our world conscious part. We have five senses. We've got touch, haven't we? Let's see if we get this right. Touch, we've got smell, we've got hear, we've got taste, and we've got sight. They're all about how we are conscious to the world around us. Yeah? And then we've got the soul. And the soul is the place where we find our affections, our emotions, our will, our choice. And they form the personality of the person, of the individual. And then we've got the spirit. And so that's, the soul is self-conscious. Yeah? Following me? Yeah. Amen. You can go, yeah, good, got it, if you want. And then we've got the spirit. Now, the spirit is God-conscious. That's why I've chosen Angela. God-conscious. And it's this, the spirit is where we communicate with God, where we worship God. It all originates in the spirit. Yeah? Now, the soul, it's like this connection between the two. See, what you decided to do this morning in your intellect or in your decision-making, how you felt, determined whether you were here this morning. It was your soul making the decision. Now, we're going to go into this into a bit more detail, but you see, when Adam, the first man, sinned, before he sinned, let's get there first, his spirit was connected, I'll be Jesus, to Jesus, to God. They were in communion with God. Is that right? If the theology is good, you say amen.
Amen.
Okay? And they was in relationship with one another. And then at some point came along was a choice. I'm getting in the way of the mic. Made a decision based on the senses of the body. You know the story? Now, it was his wife through his wife, but essentially what did the enemy say to Eve? He said, she saw the tree and it was good for food to make one wise, to know good and evil, to be like God. All happened. The soul made the choice. And then what happened when they ate of the fruit? It says, if you eat the fruit, you will surely die. And the spirit died. Now, no, it didn't die to cease to exist. It lost its God consciousness. It ceased to be able to know God. And it ceased to have any power over the soul and the body. I'm just jumping ahead quickly. Romans. When we were born again, it says that the natural self was rendered sin, which dwells in here, was rendered powerless. Because the spirit is more powerful than this. But the soul has to choose. Now, there may be some people here, or some people at Elton. I'm from Elton, by the way. We send our greetings. They don't know I've said that, but bless you. Who are not at church because they did not feel like it. Their soul made a choice that originated in their body and not in their spirit. Now, their spirit may well have said, you've got to go. But they made a choice. This is the point I'm trying to make. Adam made a choice and he died. And his spirit, this is why I chose you two, because you don't mind getting. The soul dominated the spirit. If you're not born again, your soul dominates your spirit. Your spirit has no power. It makes all the cannot make any decisions, right? Now, Adam did that. When Jesus came, he went through the same temptation, but he did not sin. And so he is our new model. The spirit who is in power, if you like. And that's the model, isn't it, that we come. And we know that. You can read that in Hebrews 4:15. So the soul has choice. The creative order has changed. Rather than the spirit leading, the soul now leads. And the soul is where, and the body is where sin lives. Because the spirit's just dead. It has lost its God consciousness. Still there, but that what that dead means is that it's lost its God consciousness. So, before you came to Christ, this is what Ephesians says. Are you right to stand there for? You're not going to be there the whole time. Don't worry. I think I've got a verse. Right, Ephesians 4:17. There we go. Now I say this and I testify in the Lord. So what Paul's saying is, he's saying to Christians, this is how you used to live. Don't live like that anymore. So I just want to prove to you that this is biblical, okay? This isn't just a really interesting, fun talk, all right? Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, or as the unbelievers do, in the futility of their minds, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. Yeah, you seeing this? Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. Now that's another subject there really. For the Jews particularly, they would have had this understanding, the heart being the being, our being, which we could put in this soul area, this being, okay? They have become callous, hard, and given themselves up to sensuality. Oh, that sounded strange, didn't it? Our senses. It's our body. And that isn't that the world today? It's all about how we feel, how we identify. Yeah? It's nothing new under the sun, as the scripture says. And he says, greedy to practice every kind of impurity, which is the way of sin. Just checking I've got it up there. But this is not the way you have learned Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And here he's saying, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. You see in the picture, it's like, this has gone bad. We need to be born again. The spirit needs to come alive again. But the spirit's dead. You're going to come alive in a minute. So, you know that verse in Hebrews where it says the word of God is powerful and effective like a double-edged sword? What does it say? It's between soul and spirit. See, when you read, and this, I'm going to jump ahead here, but when you read this, it's spiritual. Yeah? This, not just because it's not the printed paper, the word of God that is spoken through here changes lives. The amount of Christians who don't read their Bibles. Anyway. Well, this is good, isn't it? See, when God comes, Jesus comes into life and he brings the spirit alive. And then the scripture says, he who is one spirit with God. Yeah? Can't remember the rest of the verse, but it's there, isn't it? Yeah? Your spirit's never alone. The power your spirit has. Because of Christ. This is good, isn't it? Amen? So listen, this was a summary of those points. I'll leave them up there. You can look at those. The spirit regenerated, liberated, one spirit of God, becoming one in Christ. This is it. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. That's 1 Corinthians 6:17. Romans 8:19. You, however, are not controlled, or are controlled not by the flesh, but by the spirit. Hallelujah. It's all in there. If the spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So listen, this is it, right? Not that. This. Choose spirit, resist flesh. All right? If there's anything you go away with, when you make every decision that you make, choose what is the spirit saying. Because it can be different to your flesh, and we'll go into that. Right, you can sit down, ladies. You've been amazing. You know, you can, thank you. In a great body. Thank you. I think it's helpful, isn't it, to see it like these three bodies. You know? Spirit regenerated. Choose, like, live spiritually, choose to live spiritually, resist the old self, the soul-driven life. We've got to be spiritual people. Okay? So the spirit comes alive, regeneration, that's called. It takes its place in the center of our life. But the habitual living of the soul, you realize when you got saved, you still had the feelings, the desires, the temptations of self and of sin. Yeah? I did. But the Spirit is saying no. And there's a war. It says the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That's the reality, isn't it? You know? Once we overcome one thing, we realize there's another thing. And then one day we're being glory and free from it all. The soul, the soul, body, all that flesh, is it summarized? That natural, sinful nature wars against the Spirit. And this is what it says in James. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed. This is to Christians. You're tempted. Temptation is not a sin. You're tempted when we are lured and enticed by our own desires, the body and soul. Then desire when it is conceived. That means when you give in to it, gives birth to sin. Right? That's our process that we go through, our daily process. But let's go back to our original passage. Just pick out a couple of verses, and this is what he said, just to remind you. The natural person, that is the unregenerated, they got dead spirit, if you like, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned, because his spirit's dead. He can't understand it. Listen, if you're ever sharing the gospel with people, and they just don't get it, it's because their spirit is unable to discern it. And it takes the grace of God, the Spirit of God, to awaken hearts to hear. Doesn't it? That's the gift of God. Spiritual awakening, if you like, to hear. And it says in chapter 3, verse 1, I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. And this is this issue in the church. People were operating in the natural, and they were not living in the Spirit. In other words, the choices that they are making on a day to day, they're not leaning on the Spirit. They're just going with the flesh. They're not trusting. They're not listening to. They're not yielding to the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God comes in you, joins with your spirit, he will start to lead you in the way in which you should go. And bit by bit you learn. But the Spirit, oh, loves making wrong choices. Doesn't it? So if I was to say to you, are you being spiritual? When was the last time you did something spiritual? I'm going to answer these questions a bit later, but I want to try to get you thinking, because I want to go through a few things that are spiritual. And I tell you what, if you do these things, you will grow in God beyond anything. It's not rocket science. You're going to be surprised how simple it is and how often you hear it in church. Good yawn there, Tim. I'm nearly done. Tim's just thinking about this catalyst overnighter, aren't you, Tim? Isn't that the 2 days we're away up in Coventry, Tim? Right. Faith. Right. I tried to formulate this into some words. Right. Faith is action with our relationship with God in mind. Right? Now you can have, you know, people say you have faith in the chair, when you sit on it, you know it's not going to fall. All right? That's not spiritual. Faith is when you say, I'm going to step out with an action because in my relationship with God, there's something going to happen. See, when you trust in God, you are being spiritual. Your spirit is exercised. And when something is exercised, it will grow stronger. When you're operating out of belief in God, it's spirit. Whenever we're operating in faith, we're operating in spirit. We're exercising our spiritual senses, okay? It's a baseline. Listen, live by faith. All right? It's all in there, isn't it? You've heard that before, yeah? Faith is spirit. So that's your baseline. Next one. Really obvious. The Word, the Bible. I've said this already. Listen. When you read this, you don't have to understand it to get the benefit of it. Now, it is helpful, and the Spirit does give us understanding, but when you read the Scriptures and you believe in your heart that the Word of God is spiritual, the Word of God is spiritual, okay? You read it or you listen to it, however you get it, but you take it and there's something wonderful about, but when you're taking it, and sometimes even this morning I was saying, Lord, I'm reading Habakkuk and I just don't really, you know, and I'm like, but Lord, I'm going to read this because I'm going to believe that you're going to minister to my spirit through it. I'm trusting you, Lord, to do that. And when you want to speak it into a situation, it's spiritual. Read your Bible. Again, I'm sorry if you was expecting some great revelation, but this is, as I said earlier, you know, it's like the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you want to go away and study that passage, it talks, the word there means the logos, and it talks about a person. This is where the Word of God, the written word, is the expression of the person of Jesus. You know, there's something more in there, I'm sure you might want to. Prayer is spiritual. Have you noticed that we never really, I mean, I'm sure there are people here that more, but never feel like praying. I don't feel like praying. When I do get to pray, my body seems to think that it's sleep time. My mind starts to think of all the things that I haven't thought of when I needed to think about it. It's like my flesh is just reacting against it because it's spiritual. It's spiritual, and prayer is the most powerful ministry that we have as Christians. Because whenever we're doing it, we are moving in the Spirit. And remember, Spirit, joy and one with Christ, God doing great and wonderful things. You know what, I'm going to go out on a limb here. It's lovely to see Tony and was it Anne-Marie get baptized. I didn't see it, but to see. But I have a sneaky suspicion the reason they got baptized is because of prayer. And I'm sure Sonny probably just... But again, I knew Sonny when he was a young lad. The only reason he's doing all that is because of, I think, prayer. Because the only way that something could come into his life, and I can talk about, he's not here, is he? I can talk about him and then I can run. I tell you, it's a miracle what God does in the Spirit. Isn't it? And God, remind me, please, that to keep praying. And keep praying for people. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. If you're praying every day, and I don't mean, you know, Lord, please can I have a parking spot in Sainsbury's or whatever it is that you pray. I'm talking about even if you stop for 5 minutes and you're saying, Lord, I just want to move. I want to pray. I want to move in the Spirit right now. Can use that language if you want, but it's the main thing is, Lord, faith, I'm engaging with my relationship with you in this situation. I tell you, things work in the Spirit powerfully. This church is where it is now because of prayer. I believe that as well. It's not just because Tim's a nice guy. I said not just Tim. They're the least soul-engaging meetings, but the most Spirit-empowered prayer meetings. So at 7:45, when you turn up, 8:00 start on Monday, whether you're online or in the house or whatever it is, I'll tell you what goes on there has eternal consequences. And that's why I love Pete when you said, you're coming with me. Because you meant because you're going to pray. Prayer. Is spiritual. You know, the elders of the church, you know, John being the most spiritual amongst them, holds spiritual responsibility over the church. But I want to add this. If you pray for the church, you are taking spiritual responsibility for the church. Or you're operating in a role where you are taking spiritual responsibility. Not that you are responsible before God, but you are operating in a responsible way for the church spiritually. Yeah? Move that all around a little bit just to get you thinking. Prayer, spiritual. You sitting, I mean, you could go on about prayer. I'll leave that to Tim. He can, I'm sure he'll preach about it at some point. Hey, Tim, is that your next series? The battle. Amen? You know that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, above all principalities and powers, Ephesians chapter 1 or 2, wherever it is. 2, thanks, Enoch. When we pray, when we move in the Spirit, we are over principalities and powers. Listen, I don't know how much time I've got left. I don't know, I forgot what time I started. And I've probably got about another 20 minutes to go, I think, 15 minutes. But Jeremiah chapter 1, this young kid, he calls and God says to him, and because he says, I'm just a young person. And he says, I have set you over nations. Oh, man alive. You could go on to that. We do not fight, in Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so when we pray, when we're obedient to God in practical ways, when we're praying for people, you know, we're waiting on God. Daniel waited 21 days for an answer. When we're operating in the battle, it's spiritual. And we can't get caught up in the flesh and blood of it all. We've got to see it with spiritual eyes. When you do your river tots, you go there with a spiritual mindset. And that's the challenge. In Elton, we've got cafe and kids groups and things. It's maintaining a spiritual mindset. That's why I'm doing this. As soon as we lose the mission, what's the point? It's spiritual. Let's jump ahead to this. Praise is spiritual. Mary, when Gabriel came to Mary and she sings a song, in the old version it says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. That's the old English. In other words, and it's really important I say this, my soul does magnify the Lord, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. The spirit, remember, the spirit worships through the body and soul. It's spiritual. When you're here, and you, remember, engaging with God in faith, in worship, in praise, there is a spiritual movement, and very quickly we felt it. I felt it. God moving, because the spirit is moving within us, and we are moving in the spirit. And I'd love to do the 7 Hebrew words of praise. but let me just say this. You know what? There is, if it's in the Bible and they're telling you to do it, it's spiritual, right? There are different words that your English Bible may say praise, but they mean different things. One of them is this, raising your hands. When you raise your hands, it's spiritual. If it's mixed with the worship of your heart, your spirit is exercised through your hands. It's biblical and it's spiritual, all right? You can argue about this after to me. Shabak is another one. It says to shout praises in triumph. I remember Pete. Do you still shout in the meeting there, Pete? Good. It's biblical and it's spiritual.
Amen.
Amen. And that Shabak means to shout as though to subdue another voice.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, isn't that good, eh? See, Tim, you love this. Have you listened to my sermon yet? Have you? No. Barak means to kneel down. It's spiritual. You want to come and worship, you lift your hands, you clap your hands, you worship. The spirit is moving, that will grow you in the spirit. Be spiritual. Here's another one. Zamar, it means what Enoch was doing. There's an actual word that says praise for a musical instrument. So when Enoch was like maybe doing this, and you're thinking, why is he still playing, the song's finished? It's biblical and it's spiritual. If his heart is a heart of worship, and I believe it is.
Amen.
You're welcome, by the way, that Enoch's here. You're welcome, and his lovely wife. They might not know what that means, but we met you first. Here's another one, Tehillah. A song in the spirit. It's a spirit-led song. So when you're just starting to sing your own song, and in the verses, it says, have you heard this verse, that the praises, the God is enthroned on the praises of his people, that word, God is enthroned on the spirit-led worship of his people. If you want to be spiritual, you can. There's so much you can do physically to be spiritual. Right. Mission is spiritual. I've said that already. Along with the battle and about river tots and things like that. Lives are changed as we are led by the Spirit. So here's the end. Are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? See, I don't know how many of you just go through life and all your life, bar Sunday morning, where you come and sing some songs, is just you living a very natural life. You get up, you have your breakfast, you go with how you feel, you go to work or you go to whatever situation you're going in, you go to study or whatever it is that you do, or you get the kids ready and you just go from one thing to the next. And maybe you're thinking, I've never considered that everything I can do in every day I can be spiritual. By being first of all aware of how we are made up to be. You can get up, and it doesn't mean, I mean, you can put some worship on if you want, but in everything you do, it says, do all things unto Christ. Spiritual. When you go to work and you're going to work there and you're going to serve your work or the kids in your school and say, I'm going to love them like Christ. It can be spiritual. What concerns me a lot of the time, particularly with the younger generation, is that the balance of their life is so much about the natural and so very little about the spiritual. And the natural often will push the spiritual back into a tiny little spot where if they can barely make it on a Sunday, that's their spiritual. I'm exaggerating for effect, but there's this life in the spirit. If you ever wonder why people find Christianity so boring, it's because they're living in the flesh. They're bringing their facades to church. They're fine every week. And then they come and they might sing some songs, sit down when their legs get tired and can't wait for the preacher to stop preaching, especially when he said he's just finishing. When really they should just be lapping it, saying, more, John, more. Amen. Are you spiritual? Do you need to rebalance your life? Do you need to reconsider and think, hold on a minute, if I'm investing in this soul and body more than I'm investing in the spirit, I need some discipleship, I need some help, I need some encouragement, or I need some reminders that I need to be more spiritual. And it doesn't mean you remember the Bible more, you put the chairs away quicker, whatever it is. It's about saying, Lord, I want to grow in the spirit, so I want to get in the Bible, even if I don't understand it, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go about my day looking for opportunities where I can just love people. We encouraged earlier, but even acts of kindness in the spirit. You're saying, Lord, and you turn up at River Tots and you say, Lord, who is the one today you want me to talk to? Who is the one person that you give me boldness enough to say, can I pray for you? We move in the spirit. Amen. I will just repeat myself, but I want to pray. I don't know if Tim, what you do next, but shall I pray? Yeah. Joanna, should we stand together? Father, I just want to, just thank you for this opportunity to be with the church here and just to share, but also, Lord, to recognize we need your spirit to be spiritual.